Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
It is officially WrestleMania week with the big show coming up on Sunday. And join me to talk about Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. Jason, you ready for the big show on Sunday?
As ready as I can be, yeah. I mean, it wasn't exactly the hottest WrestleMania season, but as the show gets closer, I get more excited about it.
Yeah, that's the thing, and I think that's what WWE is banking on, because a lot of people that watch the product as closely as we do maybe aren't as excited about it or jazzed up as we have been in the past. But when you actually get to the show and you start really looking at it going, okay, maybe I haven't been excited about the build-up to some of the matches. But then when I start actually looking at the matches, saying, well, that could actually be pretty good, and that could be good, and that could be good, and the entrances and the pageantry and everything like that, that's probably going to be really good. And I think that's where the point we're at now is just kind of pushing aside the build and saying, what's going to be on the actual show?
For sure. I kind of look at it as entrance mania. That is such a big part of it this year. You know, we hear things about the Scarecrow, the extras, and the Russian soldier extras, and whatever Taker does, you know, will be phenomenal. There's going to be some really cool entrances, and I know that's not going to be the thing that our listeners are going to be all that jazzed up about, but it is a big part of the package. And then I think they've done a really nice job with the push tour for Sting and Triple H, and also for the U.S. Championship match. Some of the other stuff has left a lot to be desired, but, I mean, Brian, when it comes to the main event, they've dropped the ball, but I can't say that I'm not interested. I'm very intrigued to see how this all plays out, even if it's as simple as Reigns wins and he stays babyface. I think it's a really intriguing main event.
Well, I do, too, because there's so many other underlying stories that go into it. It's not just this simple, how good of a match is it going to be or what's going to happen. It's going to be, okay, can Roman step up to the plate on this big showcase? What's the response going to be to him? What is going on with Brock Lesnar? Is he going to re-sign with the company? Has he already re-signed with the company? If he does return, does that mean that maybe he will actually leave WrestleMania as the champion, or will it definitely be Roman Reigns no matter what? So there's a lot of underlying stories, I think, that go into it that we want to see unfold.
Absolutely. I'm curious to, you know, last night I thought on Raw we saw a little something with Brock Lesnar shooting Paul Heyman a look when he started talking about Reigns coming to his house and the wife and the kids. And I took it, I mean, watching it, it was like, did Brock not know he was going there? But I don't think Brock would ever fold like that. I think there was some meaning to it. And so I want to see that. Even if it is, like I say, if it's just straightforward, if that was just a little swerve, and it's just a straightforward, Reigns wins the championship clean, the reaction he gets is going to be fascinating. The match quality, it really intrigues me. So we can complain about the build, but this is one hell of an intriguing WrestleMania main event in different ways.
Yeah, it sure is, you know. And when it comes to Lesnar, I think everybody's trying to guess what exactly is going on with him. When it comes to his contract status, I don't believe that he signed a new contract. I don't see any reason why he would, because it's all about leverage for him. You know, if he really does want to go back there and get the best deal possible, and he's going to use the threat of going to the UFC there, at least use that as a threat, whether or not he really wants to go and fight again, that I don't know about that. But, I mean, he's going to go where he can get the best deal. You know, just guessing right now, which way do you lean when it comes to Brock?
Whew, man. Well, first off, late last night after Raw, I was told no new deal yet. And it's that time of year where I kind of second guess everything I'm told, because I don't know what they want out there, what they don't. But this is somebody who doesn't steer me wrong. The fact that he hasn't re-signed yet, I mean, obviously they're going to be spending a lot of time together this coming week, but as you say, the leverage really is in waiting. Now, if WWE just makes him a hell of a deal and makes it very clear, hey, final offer, there's still no harm in him testing and kind of going, well, we'll see if that final offer goes up once I'm a free agent. I think he ends up staying. I wonder if there's some desire on his part to try to do both or something along those lines. The reason I think he may end up staying, Brian, is I think, yes, he can go back to UFC and make more immediate money right now, but if, let's say he loses both fights, and a year from now, he's looking, calling up Vince going, hey, I'm ready to come back. What kind of offer is Vince going to make him if that leverage is gone? Because at that point, he doesn't have, he could, you know, I'm sure UFC would keep him in the fold somehow and give him a nice deal, but not the type of money that he's going to get for whatever this deal is with whoever it's with. Then your only real leverage, I think, becomes Bellator, because they've shown, you know, if you once meant something and you're, you know, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, 75 years old, if they think they can, you know, pop a rating with you, they'll bring you in.
Right, and the other thing when it comes to UFC is, say he goes there and he gets beat, and say it's not that close, or he really takes a pounding, you know, what is his value then for UFC when it comes to drawing power? How much is that hurt? It's not just WWE and his value coming back again, which I think even if he went to UFC, he would definitely come back at some point, but, you know, does that change his value when it comes to them and drawing power, and how much is it going to be worth when it comes to pay-per-views? Because you know he's going to have a deal that's structured on pay-per-view buys as well. So I think the safe play is if he can get a longer-term deal to go to WWE, but one that's still very favorable. And by long-term, I mean 2 or 3 year deal and working a schedule that's pretty similar to right now, what he's been doing, because you don't want to overuse him. He still has to be a special attraction. You know, it just depends on what WWE is willing to pony up and how valuable they see him.
And we can't rule out just the athlete in Brock. You know, the real true competition, one-on-one, that may really appeal to him. That's something that, you know, that's driven him his entire life. And he may miss that, and he has to be looking at it, it's now or never. You know, there's no signing with WWE and then going to UFC next year if he has any real aspirations of trying to, you know, get back on top of that world. And I don't think he, at this age and with the UFC and fighting evolving like it has, I don't have high hopes for him going in and taking the heavyweight championship or anything like that, but that doesn't mean he isn't looking at it that way. You know, Brock Lesnar is, look at the credentials, and I'd give you my best Paul Heyman voice and run them down for you, but I think we all know them. He's a guy that I don't think he's going to go, I'll go fight Mir and fight some other guy and be happy with that. I think he's going to want to go, he'll probably take the Mir fight because it's easy money and it's a nice setup match for him, but I think he's going to want to try to avenge the loss to Cain Velasquez, for instance, and that's a little frightening to me. I don't know that, I know he had diverticulitis, but Brian, this is a guy who didn't like getting hit, and
right.
It's been kind of exploited.
Yeah, I think he would, the Mir fight, I think would definitely be the first fight in, and then that's a pretty safe one. And then after that, it would be to avenge the loss against Overeem, and then go after Cain, whether he had the title or not. And that, you know, Cain's had a lot of different injuries too, but still, we saw what happened, you know, in that fight between the two of them. So that's when you really start, you know, stepping into deep water. The other thing is with WWE, and you talked about, you know, were they actually setting something up during the main event angle on Raw? I don't know if I really want to see a babyface Brock Lesnar, or a Brock Lesnar that is not aligned with Paul Heyman.
Let me jump back to the Overeem thing. It's Dana White. I don't know that Overeem fight would happen. I know it makes sense when you just kind of already can avenge that, then it makes sense. There's a line there, Rolfs, and then he gets his title shot. Dana's the kind of guy that books for now. I don't if Brock beats Mir, I don't know that Dana's going to go, okay, you got to beat Overeem, then you get your shot. I think he's going to go, what's my most marketable fight?
Yeah.
And go right to that Cain fight.
Yeah, you're probably right. Or whoever has the title at that point, because Cain's going to fight, you know, who's he fighting? Verdum coming up? So, absolutely. Yeah, I could see that.
Now, as far as Brock as a babyface, I don't either. You know, I just love what we get from Brock Lesnar as a heel. I don't even know if they'd be considering this right now if it weren't for the uncertainty with Roman Reigns. I mean, Brian, have you ever seen, I don't recall anyway, a WrestleMania Raw go-home show where the challenger didn't say a word other than in some, you know, previously pre-taped interview?
Yeah, I find that so strange, because if you want to put that guy in that position for WrestleMania, that means you have a lot of confidence in him to put him in that position. Then have the confidence to let him talk. I'm not saying it's going to be for a long period of time, Let him talk. I mean, you're letting this guy go out and do all the interviews. He's going on Conan O'Brien. He's going on ESPN. He's doing all these interviews with all these outlets. But yet, you won't let him talk for 90 seconds on your final edition of Raw before WrestleMania?
Hey, where's the UFC countdown style thing we saw with Brock? You know,
right.
I mean, Brock hits home runs with those. And there's no saying Roman Reigns is going to do as well as Brock in that environment. But you control it. You decide what airs. And just to air that sit-down interview that he did with Byron Saxton again was really soft. I can't believe they didn't take more time to try to – you can frame it. I mean, I didn't expect him to go out there and cut a five-minute promo in the ring in front of the crowd, but you certainly could have done something like they did with Brock the week before.
Yeah, and what kills me is they do all these great production packages for WrestleMania. You want to air them at WrestleMania? Fine. You know when they need to be airing? The month leading up to WrestleMania on your television.
I agree.
I never understood that. It's like at that point somebody's already bought the show. Use those packages to sell the event to get people more excited about it and give them the reason to actually buy WrestleMania or buy the network so they can watch it. I know there's so many different questions that we have with this main event. You know, and one of them, I'm sure some people will say, well, could Roman end up with Heyman? I don't know if they can do that or if they would do it at WrestleMania, only because they have gone with a pattern, and I don't know if they want to get away from it, of having there be a good feel-good moment at the end of WrestleMania. The last time that they had, you know, one of the most memorable times that stands out in my mind when they actually had a heel go over in the main event of Mania was when Austin turned and was aligned with Vince. I don't know if they want to go that route.
Didn't The Miz technically go over?
He did.
But, I mean, they had The Rock there to kind of pad that. You still got your feel-good ending to WrestleMania, if I recall.
Yeah. I mean, that happened too. But, I mean, they very rarely go that route where somebody turns or the heel wins at the end of Mania. I mean, they want to have everybody go home happy or what they feel should be happy. They want the hero closing out WrestleMania on a high note.
And, you know, I would say, especially with the fact that they're on the West Coast, there's only going to be so much darkness, and you want Undertaker's, you know, his entrance to be in darkness, I would think. I was open to the idea that, okay, if they're going to do something screwy with the title match, you put Taker on last. Yeah, it's everyone knows how it's going to go, but it's still a feel-good ending to WrestleMania. But Heyman seemed pretty, like, just in the promo, I thought he was kind of driving home that match is going on last.
He was calling a shot. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's, I mean, I would think they're going to still try to get Taker out there very late in the show, but still, that match goes on last, and so, I don't know what the happy ending is going to be. In Vince's mind, it may be Reigns going over clean, but, I mean, Brian, you attend WrestleMania every year. That crowd is going to eat him alive if he's just babyface Roman Reigns and he wins clean, barring some just miraculous performance and suddenly he manages to turn the tide. I think he's better than people are giving him credit for, by and large. I mean, people are talking about him like he's the worst wrestler of all time or something, but I don't know that he's going to go out there and he and Lesnar are just going to completely steal that show and he's going to win people over by the time all's said and done.
Right. I do think that he's getting a bad rap from that standpoint, too. The only thing that I would say is we probably need to look at this through WWE glasses. And from that, I mean, and I wish I'd said this on my podcast that I did the other day, was if you look at it from their vantage point, maybe The Rock is there at the end of the show.
Perhaps. I mean, we know he's in New York the night before, but there's this thing called, you know, air travel where he could probably get there pretty quickly.
Well, what was the interview that he did where somebody asked him, like, what are you doing the day after Mania? And he was very... he would not really say.
You know, I mean, he's been at how many Manias in a row now? Four or five?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess...
Could they set up Rock against Lesnar, or would it be something that he's doing something to help Roman? I don't know. I mean, if he helps Roman win that match, that's going to make Roman look like a dope, though.
That's going to make Roman look really bad. It's like if they do set up Rock against Lesnar, where it's like, you know, Big Brother Rock is there and trying to avenge the fallen Roman Reigns. How does Reigns come back from that? I mean, could they be setting up Rock versus a heel Reigns even? Just, you know, complete fantasy booking here.
Maybe. I mean, that's one of the things I like about this, is that there are a lot of different directions. So I want to see where they go. and see how it all unfolds. I do agree, outside of the main event, I like the build that they've done for Cena and Rusev. I didn't like what they did a few weeks ago where Cena got the match by making Rusev tap out and giving him a beating there. But I like that they got a lot of steam back on Rusev from Raw with him beating up Cena.
They needed to do that. That was well done. Just jumping back to the main event for a second, I think most years it's as simple as predict, you know, the baby face goes over, and you, like you say, you get that feel-good ending. This year, maybe I'm guilty of overthinking it, but I just think there's so many different things at play right now, just because of where Reigns is at in his push and his popularity, and just the WrestleMania crowd being against him, and it makes it, I think it's a lot more intriguing than just the simple, okay, the guys, you know, they're building to the challenger, beating the heel champion. It may play out that way, but I just think the uncertainty with Reigns makes this much more interesting than a lot of WrestleMania main events. Let me ask you one thing about that, too.
Do you think WWE knows the outcome for that match already?
Yes, I think Vince McMahon knows what he wants to do. Doesn't mean he can't be talked out of it.
Is it written in pencil or erasable ink somehow?
I would think that Vince would have it written in pen, but I can't get into the details, but I know of a pretty big match where Vince was, he changed his tune at the last minute once he got done talking with people. And we're talking a WrestleMania main event, a big WrestleMania match. It can happen. I think it's pretty rare.
I mean, it happened with Taker Lesnar, debating on who you talked to when everybody found out. When did Vince Roy know? Did he know an hour before the match? Did he know 4 hours before the match? Did he know the day before the match? Either way, it was within like 24 hours that was the route he went.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it can happen. And so Vince may all year have been building up to, I mean, because he knew that he wanted Reigns in the main event last year, at last year's WrestleMania, probably even before. Certainly that was the plan at last year's Mania, was Roman Reigns headlines, and then, you know, it was presumably against Brock. So this is what he's been working to for a long time. But if Vince is second-guessing himself, and I would say the lack of Reigns promos lately is probably a sign that, yeah, he's lost a little faith there, or he recognizes the weakness. And so maybe he is going to be a little more open to other ideas. And if so, I think so much of it really hinges on whether Brock resigns, obviously. Brian, I think if Brock were to resign, if I'm Vince McMahon, I have Brock go over, and I try to rebuild Roman Reigns through the course of the next year with the idea that we're going back to that main event, and maybe he beats Lesnar at that point rather than trying to force feed everybody right now. You take a year and you really build the guy properly. But I wouldn't write that in pen either. I'd have it in pencil just in case, like, the backlash is too severe and this guy just never gets over to the degree that Vince thought he would.
So we're going the Rocky route. You came close the first time. Would you want the match again?
Yes. Yeah. I
like that.
It's an obvious story to tell. And I think the other key here is, because at that point, obviously, Brock would have to resign, and it protects the streak a little bit. I mean, they fed Lesnar the streak, and I would argue, for what? What? You can't tell me Brock Lesnar wouldn't be over as the Conqueror and the Beast and all these things right now to the degree he is. I don't think that meant nearly as much as they thought it would. It surprised everyone at last year's WrestleMania, and I'm looking at this year's WrestleMania going, damn, they could really use the streak.
Well, I don't think they've done enough in talking about how he ended the streak and all the emotion that went into that. I thought that's something that they should have done over the last few months, and they kind of just let hang out there without talking about it, and now they're talking about more. But I would make that such a big deal.
It should be all over the place right now. I mean, that should have been a big part of this build, and I'm sure they're going, we can't disrespect Undertaker like that, and we need him to be an attraction. I think there's a way to make that more of the build for his match with Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt touches on it, but it's like you can just tell they're afraid to go there. You know, Bray Wyatt will say it in Bray Wyatt speak, where he's not really coming out and saying you got beaten, you know, you're done. It's more he's not afraid of him. Well, I just would have been a little more blunt about it. And everyone watching WrestleMania knows that Undertaker was beaten last year. So why not use that to the advantage? Why just, you had that monumental moment that I questioned at the time. I thought it was a bad mistake at the time. But, you know, you start to figure out, okay, they want Brock Lesnar to be the guy that beat him so that when Reigns beats Brock Lesnar, it means more. But the way they've done it, it doesn't. It's just Reigns is beating Brock Lesnar. I don't think anyone other than, you know, if Paul Heyman delivers a promo, I'm sure it'll come up. But it's not, it doesn't feel like there's any real strong connection there where suddenly we look at Reigns as being on par with the great Undertaker because he beat the guy that beat him. I'm not seeing it that way at all. And so I just think horrible move. I don't think they got nearly as much out of this as they could have.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I thought they should have been doing a lot more with this and they just haven't. Let's get back to Rusev against Cena because I think, you know, arguably they've done the best job of building up this match. They've done some stuff where they talk about Cena wants to do this for his country now. It's something that I thought they could have even hit harder and done earlier, but they're getting into that now. So I like where they're at with this. I wish there was a couple more things that they had done, and one of them is I thought this is a perfect opportunity to interject Hulk Hogan into the corner of John Cena. And they haven't gone that route. And as it stands right now, who knows if Hogan's going to be on that show? I think he will be, but it's going to be a minor role. I thought that's all it would be if they ever put him in this match. But I thought this was tailor-made, and they decided not to go that that route.
Yeah, it seems like Hogan's tied to Curtis Axel instead, and then that whole Axel Mania thing. And I wonder, did they panic last night, Brian? When Axel Mania started to click with kind of the vocal adult male portion of the crowd, I started going, ooh, if they're planning on having Hogan beat him up at WrestleMania, that crowd may actually side with Curtis Axel. It's like they like Hulk Hogan. They see him as a legend, but Axel's kind of been adopted by that crowd as the fun guy to cheer. I just wonder if they panicked and that was originally going to take place at Mania and they did it last night instead.
Yeah, you know, because I can't see them doing it at Mania. Well, it doesn't make sense, but we can say that like, okay, well, the Miz and Mizdow, it didn't make sense for them to break up a week ago and then just magically appear back together on Raw. It didn't make sense for Randy Orton to beat the living hell out of Seth Rollins a few weeks ago. And then them saying on Raw last night, man, Orton just can't wait to get his hands on Rollins. Like, he's already gotten his hands on him. He beat him from pillar to post.
That's the one. I think they've done a great job with Miz and Mizdow. It's like, yeah, they blew up a little bit, but they still didn't go, you know, they didn't completely break up. So that one I think they've done a fine job with. I thought they could have done more with it last night. I was kind of disappointed with the final push to that. But that's one that just kind of built along nicely, and I feel like it's peaking at the right time. Orton, they had everybody right where they wanted them at Fastlane. And for some reason, they decide we need to fill all this TV time. We'll have Orton rejoin the Authority, but he didn't. And then it's just the weird scenario last week where you had Orton ganged up on 5-on-1, and I thought, oh, okay, well, he agreed to this because he has Sting in his back pocket, and then he acts like he's as surprised as anyone that Sting is there. I'm just like, wow, Seth Rollins is stupid, the Authority is stupid, and apparently Randy Orton is stupid as well. That storyline's a mess, but I got to admit, I'm still looking forward to watching the match on the big stage. If this were SummerSlam or, you know, any other show really than Mania, I'd just be like, we saw the payoff. I don't even care to see these guys face off again. But there's just something about the Mania stage that somehow brings this back to where, yeah, this will be a good part of the show.
Yeah, I think they'll have a good match between Orton and Rollins. But to me, and I've harped on this, you know, one of the simplest things they could have done was just have Orton come back on Raw or at Fastlane or whatever. He beats up Rollins a little bit. Rollins gets away before he gets RKO'd. And all they do is have Orton say, I'm going to get my hands on you. I'm going to get my hands on you. And every week he gets closer and closer and closer, but he never gets that RKO. And then guess what? At Mania, he gets the RKO and he gets a win.
Right.
What's so hard about that?
It doesn't fill up as much TV time.
You have Orton chasing after Rollins all these weeks, though. And, you know, I've got my hands on you, or I'm starting to get hands on you, just seeing Rollins just try to escape. You know, he can be in the ring and he can be defiant about it, but he's always kind of looking over his shoulder up until that match.
Is it a sign that Rollins is going over, that they felt like, well, we can give the payoff here because Rollins is going to go over at Mania and Orton's not going to, you know, get that big decisive win on Sunday?
I don't know, but, I mean, if we go by WWE logic, I mean... I mean, how many times do we see guys suffer losses and then get a big win for a title? Like, that's what I think a lot of people are expecting when it comes to the ladder match. Is that Daniel Bryan's gotten pinned twice in a row by Ziggler. He got knocked out by Wade Barrett with the bullhammer. So that means he's got to win the ladder match and win the Intercontinental Championship.
I don't understand that logic. I do when it's like a heel who's about to win the championship, unless it's a Rusev or Lesnar type, or they're just dominant, you don't want to do that. But if it's a guy who's kind of a vulnerable heel and he loses a couple and then he wins a title, okay, you're establishing that he's vulnerable. But I just kind of shake my head when they do this more often than not, especially with a guy like Daniel Bryan. That win that Dolph Ziggler got over him didn't make me feel like, wow, Dolph Ziggler's on the rise. It made me feel like, wow, Daniel Bryan's on the way down.
Absolutely.
And I don't think winning what's become a worthless secondary championship on Sunday is going to change that. I mean, I'm like everybody else. I hope whoever wins it, it's like now they're serious about the IC title, and Daniel Bryan, if he wins it, can bring a lot of prestige to it. We've said that about like the last 20 Intercontinental and U.S. champions, and Rusev's the only guy they've ever protected. They all just end up losing non-title matches. Could Daniel Bryan be different if he wins it? Sure, if they want him to, but I almost feel like it's a curse to win that thing because they just treat you like a nobody.
Absolutely, and I'm starting to get the feeling now, and I'm not trying to get into all conspiracy theory like some people might, but they are booking Daniel Bryan on a level that they feel a lot more comfortable with where they think he should be. It's not to say that he won't be a main eventer, but he won't be like the guy. I mean, it's okay if we need him in the main event. It's easy. We can pull the trigger. People will take it. They'll accept it. But in the meantime, this is where we think Daniel Bryan belongs, is where he's at right now.
That seems to be it. Yeah, I think some of it, I mean, do you feel like some of it could be them pulling him down for the time being? Because, I mean, he's really the adversary for Roman Reigns when it comes to the appeal
right.
of the fans.
So cool him off because the spotlight can be on Roman.
I wonder if that has something to do with it, if that's kind of the mentality. It's really disappointing that he's in this IC title match, and I'd be okay with the ladder match. I mean, I think once the bell rings, that's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it. The problem is the whole hot potato with the title belt game that they played and R-Truth being R-Truth on commentary. They really positioned this in just the worst possible way. It felt like it was more about comedy than anything. And then last night, the last couple of weeks, they've tried to heat it up again. I thought the best they did was that gauntlet on SmackDown. And I guess there was a six-man tag, actually, that was probably better, where you just kind of were reminded that, wow, all these guys can go, and this should be a hell of a ladder match. But it really had nothing to do with any of the story they told. They didn't position the title belt any stronger. Barrett just looked like a chump all along. It's such a disappointing build. I mean, I think this has to be remembered as one of the worst builds, one of the worst WrestleMania seasons that there's ever been.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of people say, well, you know, they want to do more with the IC title and the U.S. title. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
I can't put any faith in that. And they have a certain way of looking at those belts and saying, this is what we want to do. And you know, Wade Barrett is a guy that I thought a lot of people, I'm not saying he's definitely going to be like ensconced as a main eventer, but I thought maybe they could do something more with the belt with him finally coming back and now he's healthier, and they've chosen not to do that. I have no confidence that even if they put the belt on Daniel that they would do it, you know. Same with like if they put it on Ziggler. I mean, you've got a couple of guys there in Ambrose as well that you would think, hey, these guys should be the crop of main eventers. Okay, so that means if they get the IC title, that belt's going to mean more, but it doesn't when you get booked the way you do. You're losing all the time as the champion. I mean, that does nothing for the performer or for the title.
No, and I love that, you know, Dean Ambrose is complaining about he wants to win the title and he's going to be a fighting champion. This is the guy who had the U.S. title, and he didn't lose all those non-title matches like everyone else does because he never defended the damn thing.
Don't complain about him on a little podcast or a little blog.
Oh, apparently not. Yeah, he seemed fired up there, Frizzy.
He was a little bit fired up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got a lot out of him on the Reigns topic. That was really cool. He's in a tough spot because it's like, of course, he's got to defend the guy. I'm sure they're friends and that they were in the Shield and all that.
They're like best friends now. They're the guys that they're on the road together.
Yeah, and so I mean, I expected there to be some defense of that when I saw you ask him the question. But he was pretty aggressive with that, and it's admirable. I just wonder, like, if he, as passionate as he was about that, it kind of makes me feel like, yeah, he believes this. But I wonder if there's a small part of him too going, yeah, I see what, you know, the shortcomings there, and he wouldn't be the guy I'd go with either. And if you caught him in a truly honest moment.
I don't know. I got the sense that he did believe it, especially because part of it was that's his friend. And he got tired of hearing about everybody coming out of the woodwork complaining. And this was him. I don't think he was necessarily angry, but he definitely got on a soapbox.
Yeah, yeah. And that's cool. I mean, yeah, you got to defend your buddy. And
sure,
if he really believes that, I can't say I agree with him. But, you know, hey, at least he was passionate about it. He certainly wasn't biting his tongue.
I don't know anything about this business anyway, so my opinion doesn't matter. Now, the funny thing was, is Dean was doing this, and, you know, you when you do these interviews, they're part of, a radio tour, and I got conferenced in, and it wasn't like, because, I mean, obviously, you know, I do the podcast here for the website, but I write for Sporting News.
Yeah.
And when I got introduced, they're like, hey, this is Brian Fritz of the Between the Ropes podcast. And then at the end of it, he was talking about people with their little podcasts, which I loved. He wasn't taking a shot at me. I know he wasn't. It just came out that way. I know he wasn't taking a shot at me, but I just kind of, I was laughing kind of like while he was doing it, going, he's talking about a podcast. He's on one right now.
Well, everyone does have a podcast, so
yes, exactly.
Some are bigger than others. Hopefully that's what he meant.
Yes. The Sting Triple H buildup, I think they've done, you know, a good job. I wouldn't say overwhelmingly great, but a good job with that. You know, and all the appeal here is Sting's finally going to be at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I like what they did on Raw from a standpoint that he got to start doing a promo and how excited he was. I didn't like that it was Stephanie that interrupted him and he only got X amount of time. I'm not saying you need to do a 20-minute opening segment, but I thought a good 4 or 5 minute promo from Sting would have been really cool, but they decided not to go that route. But they've at least, you know, kept him and Triple H apart in the month or so leading up to their match at Mania.
Tremendous build. They've really done a great job with this. And there were times when it was like, because the rest of the build was so underwhelming, you kind of felt like, this could be better. But considering where it's at on the card, I mean, this wasn't supposed to be the main event of the show. It certainly, you know, as they like to put it, one of the main events of the show. It's one of the top matches for sure. But I think the build has been consistently strong. They lost their way a bit when Triple H started trying to make it about WCW. And I was happy to hear Sting kind of, you know, basically roll his eyes at that last night. That was a nice touch. But it's been, you had the silent Sting for so long. He carried that mystique. The baseball bat, the spot that everyone expected to set the match up, where he, you know, pointed at the WrestleMania sign with the bat and stayed silent. And I was, you know, the distorted voice thing was goofy. I didn't really understand that.
I don't understand the Black Scorpion's involvement in this.
No, that was strange. But I was very pleasantly surprised last night with the promo. And I think that, because I was pretty adamant all along that, keep him silent. Don't have him say anything. I know he did better in TNA with his promos. It's not that. It's
what
silent.
Is this promotion you talk about? Because he's disappeared for 12 years.
Exactly. He's just been gone. He's been missing.
I say that as a joke, and I understand why WWE is doing that. And I don't expect to say, well, you've been wrestling on this company called TNA for the last decade. They're never going to do that, and they shouldn't.
No, and it's really speaks volumes about the fan passion or lack thereof for TNA when you don't hear people outrage. I'm sure there's diehard TNA fans who are, but you know, if this were a more popular promotion that they were just ignoring and pretending didn't exist, I think people would really be vocal about it. But last night, I thought it was the right length. I don't want to hear Sting out there. I thought what we heard from him was great. He looked just relaxed. You know, if you had told me Sting's going to cut a promo, his first WWE Raw promo, I'd have thought, okay, he's going to be nervous. He'll do okay, but he's going to be nervous and uptight. And he looked more relaxed than he's ever been. I thought he just looked like a guy who was out there having fun with the moment rather than scrambling to remember his lines. And so I thought it was perfect in length, and it also leaves you wanting more. I wouldn't be surprised if we get that 4 or 5 minute promo from Sting on Monday.
Yeah, I think he was super excited to be on that stage, to be on Raw and for WrestleMania. He's a guy who's been, you know, around for a long time. I don't think anything's really going to faze him for the most part. And I think he's just living in the moment, like you said. I mean, of all the people that are pretty excited about WrestleMania, I would think that he has to be right up there near the top or at the top, because he's been waiting for this moment for so long, and now he's finally getting it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the stage is too big for him. And I know it sounds crazy for a guy who's been around as long as he has to think of that as a possibility, but he didn't have the most confidence at times during his TNA run. You know, he would express gratitude to guys he was working with because he would forget spots and things like that. He just looks like a guy who, I mean, you can tell he's taking this seriously. He's got himself in great shape. He doesn't, even if he wears the T-shirt during the match, so be it. You're not seeing like the gut that he had. Not that it was big. He looked like a guy who was his age.
Right.
And now he's got himself in shape. He looks relaxed. He looks like he's having fun. And I'm optimistic about that match. I don't expect it to be a five-star classic or anything, but I think they can have a good quality WrestleMania brawl, and the fans will get to see the Stinger splashes. I mean, it so much of it is the entrance, seeing Sting in the ring for the first time, and then just seeing him hit those classic Sting spots that people want to see him hit. And I think it's not Sting Taker. It's not what that match would have been at one time. But it's really probably for me the next to the main event. It's the match I'm looking forward to next. It not in terms of quality, that would be ladder match, but just in terms of overall presentation, the total package, that is second from the top for me.
Yeah, you know, and I know they've been working on that match, and I'm sure that Triple H will, and Sting, they'll put it together, which accentuates Sting's, the best things that he can do out there. So, I mean, I don't expect it to be like this classic, but I think it's going to surprise some people how good that match is. The question that I wonder about, though, is you had just mentioned you think Sting possibly could appear on Raw the following night and he could cut a promo. I wonder what the future of Sting is with that company. Like, I tend to believe that I think this will be his one and only match there, but who knows? Maybe he'll go out there, have a really good match, and they say, hey, we've got something for you down the line, whether it's at SummerSlam or WrestleMania the following year, that maybe he would actually have another match or two.
I don't think this is it, unless he chooses. You know, obviously, he can say, hey, I did it once and I'm good, thanks. If that doesn't happen, if he's open to doing more, I think they do more, because I would think that if this were the end of the road for him, they would have promoted it that way. It would have been Sting's one and only match in WWE. You don't want to miss it. It's, you know, WrestleMania, the only time this is Sting's retirement match, essentially, and we got none of that. It's just all about Sting's first match at WrestleMania and in WWE.
Well, if that's the case, then I tend to think that next year we would get Taker against Sting.
I would do it. I know all the concerns about match quality and all that.
It's all about the build. It's all about the dream match.
It's
all that is. And you know what? Quite honestly, on Monday on Raw, if that's the route they wanted to go, I'd have Sting on that show say, this is the match I want at Mania next year.
Or Taker calls him out. I'm not even sure how you do it. But
right. I would set that up a year in advance.
There's a way to do it, that's for sure. They have a big stadium to fill next year, and it normally, like, if this were a couple of years ago, that match might even be happening this year. Maybe they save it for Texas Stadium, just kind of working back in time and saying that Big Show is there. But the thing you got to remember that this is probably Taker's last hurrah coming up in Texas, and so if they may not need Taker Sting to fill that place. It could be Taker and someone else, fill in the name. The fact, if it's Taker's last ride and they bill it that way, this is the end of the road, I don't know that they need Sting there. I mean, I'd like to see it. I think it would add a lot to the spectacle of WrestleMania, but if it's Taker's last match, isn't that enough? If they just feel like, if Taker's lukewarm about working Sting because of match quality concerns, things like that, I would think that's enough. Taker retiring on his home turf in Texas, I think that makes it must-see.
Well, the other thing I wonder, too, coming out of this match is, okay, so we expect Sting to beat Triple H. What does this do for Triple H going forward? I don't know if it really hurts him, but you really start thinking about it if you want to overthink, and I know WWE probably isn't looking at it from this angle, but this is a guy that, even though he wields a lot of power and he is a legend, he's not winning matches anymore.
No. He, but it doesn't seem to be hurting him. I would probably be protect. I would either have him out of the ring for a long period of time. Maybe he doesn't get back in the ring until next year's Mania, and by then, maybe I'm just living in the bubble on this. But I think it's more widespread than just your most hardcore of hardcore fans. Seems like everybody convinces themselves that this guy is the evil lord of wrestling, and he's even if he it looks like he's supposed to lose, he's gonna manipulate the system and he's gonna win. I mean, we've already heard that with this match with Sting. That, oh, he's bringing up WCW because he wants to convince Vince McMahon that a WWE guy can't lose to a WCW guy. I mean, people convince themselves that this guy is going to find ways to win, to get himself to go over. And so even if he loses here, no matter what his next match is, that will probably be the mindset again, is that evil Triple H is going to find a way to beat so-and-so.
Any way that Bray Wyatt beats The Undertaker?
They better not happen. I think that would be crazy. I think that would be really foolish. If Bray Wyatt should have beat John Cena last year, I didn't understand it at the time. I assume Cena beats Rusev like everybody else. I'd like to see them kind of throw a swerve in there. I'm not a big anti-Cena guy or anything, but Bray Wyatt, I mean, that beating Bray Wyatt didn't do anything for John Cena last year. Beating Rusev this year gives him another WrestleMania moment, but that's it. And what is it, you know, what's the pros outweigh the cons here? And I don't know that they do, and I certainly don't think they did last year. And then you look at, you know, back to your question, yeah, if Bray Wyatt beats Taker, he gets something from it, but I don't think it's not something anyone wants to see. They don't want to see Undertaker go out, this decrepit old man that lost to Lesnar and then lost to Bray Wyatt, of all people. I don't think they shouldn't. I think it would be a big mistake, especially if they want Taker in the ring at next year's Mania, and I assume they do because we haven't heard any talk about him retiring either.
How do you think Bray Wyatt comes out of this? Because, you know, that's fine he loses because he's losing to The Undertaker on this stage to a legend.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, if they'll actually look at him because, I mean, he should get a nice bump off of this. Did they once again look at him as a top-level heel that's going to be programmed against other top baby faces or possibly the champion going forward?
Unfortunately, I think he goes back into that same mix of guys that we see in the IC title match.
Mm.
And I want to believe they have these grand plans for these guys, and, oh, it's okay, Wyatt can lose here because we have this plan to rebuild him. I mean, that's what everyone was saying last year about his match with Cena. Oh, Wyatt's going to get rub, and he's going to, you know, they'll do some good things with him coming out of it to repair any of the damage. He just spun his wheels. And so I wouldn't be at all surprised if Bray Wyatt ends up just spinning his wheels again. Maybe he goes back into a feud with Daniel Bryan. Who knows? But I just don't feel confident that they've got some grand plan to bring Bray Wyatt back from losing to Taker. Not that it's the end of the world, but I just think he goes right back to the same spot that he was in before this feud.
We both got the odds from Bovada, the gambling odds for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that for the second annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, the favorite listed is Damian Mizdow at 5-4? Over Sheamus, who hasn't even been announced for the match.
That's a tricky one, because it makes sense that Mizdow would win somehow, and you know, but you could easily have Miz and Mizdow have their moment down the stretch, you know, and you could even do the bit where they're in the final four or something. I think the logic is basically that it's going to come down to those two, and Miz is going to order him to eliminate himself, and he doesn't. And it makes sense because I thought we would have seen that at the Royal Rumble, and we didn't. So, yeah, he would be my favorite right now to win the match, too. And then Sheamus, I mean, do we even know if he's going to be in that?
I don't know. I mean, he's listed here, so they must feel like he's going to be in it, but
Ryback in that. He's the only other guy.
Ryback is
6-1.
Listed. 6-1, third favorite. And the funny thing is, when it comes to Sheamus, for the last month, we've seen these promos that Sheamus is returning, except for last night on Raw. We did not see that.
You're right. We didn't, did we?
No. So they've been airing it for a month, this one generic promo saying Sheamus is returning. They don't give a date. And then the final show before WrestleMania, they don't show it.
Yeah, maybe he's not coming back now. Maybe he's just like, never mind.
He's been exiled.
How anticlimactic have those been? Here's the same video again. He's coming.
Right. Like, don't even show it. Just have him pop up sometime. Like, I mean, go after somebody. It can't just be like, hey, look, there's Sheamus coming down the ramp and his music hits and he's back. It needs to be he attacks somebody. He does something, you know, that really makes an impact.
There are times when, you know, obviously those types of teasers make sense and vignettes and things like that. I'm with you on this one. I don't think anyone saw that aside from maybe once when you first see the video, go, oh, cool, Sheamus is coming back. But that's kind of the reaction. And I think the element of surprise would work so much better. Like, holy crap, Sheamus. I wasn't even thinking about him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the hardcore fans are going to realize, all right, it's only a matter of time before he comes back, and we get to this point, and they're like, oh, it's probably Mania. But so the average fan out there, they're not thinking about it. It would be a hell of a surprise for him.
So they're doing a match at Access between, what is it, four different NXT people, and the winner will be included in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
It's a tournament.
It's a tournament.
They've listed four people. And it says including these four, so I don't know if they're going with a full 8-man tournament. I don't know exactly what they're doing there.
Yeah, they've announced Hideo Itami, Finn Balor, Tyler Breeze, Adrian Neville. Kevin Owens is injured,
right?
So he can't. And it looks like Sami Zayn is injured too. So I don't even know if he's going to be on that NXT show on that Friday night before Mania because he's got a shoulder injury. What have you heard about that injury?
I don't know anything more about the Sami Zayn injury just yet.
It
will be interesting if he's on the show. I assume he's going to be there in person, just as Kevin Owens probably will be too. I think they'll have those guys at the NXT show. But Zayn would seem to be a candidate to win that tournament if he were healthy and get on the WrestleMania show.
I think Neville is the one that's going to win it.
And I'm fine with that. I think he's ready for primetime one. You've done pretty much what you can do with him at the NXT level. If they have the right thing in mind for him on the main roster, I think he's a really good call-up. But I know people are thinking, a lot of people are going, Balor, the big entrance. I don't think you can do the big entrance for the guy's debut in a battle royal. I would not, as much as I dig Finn Balor and I look forward to the day where we see that elaborate entrance on, you know, on the big stage at WrestleMania, let it be next year's WrestleMania. I don't want to see Finn Balor just debut in some throwaway battle royal spot. Even if they're going to have him, even if it was like you told me, like, yeah, they're going to have him win it, I'd still be like, okay.
Well, if he did it but didn't do the elaborate entrance. He's got to save that entrance for a big match and a big showcase.
He does. Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want to just he debuts with that. I want to see the build like we got in NXT for that, where he built up to that big match and he was, you know, like it had some, there was some friction, real friction. It was kind of a feud between the guys, and then he breaks it out. I hate to see that become like his every week Raw entrance when the time comes. But I'm curious, Brian. I mean, with them expanding and becoming a touring promotion, and my conspiracy theory, and more than that, just my speculation that they may have more in mind than just becoming a cute little company that tours to get these guys in front of different audiences. We've heard Triple H talk about, I want it to be more like WCW than ECW. WWE is a publicly traded company, and they're getting everything they can get out of the main roster as far as, you know, television deals for Raw and SmackDown. Nothing I've heard about this, Brian, but I really wonder if they're considering full-on expansion, making this a full brand, getting it its own television deal so it's not just a network exclusive, and really turning this into a full-on brand at some point. Doesn't have to mean it's going to happen this year, but just kind of a slow build to that. And if so, does some of the talent that are in NXT now, do they hold them back and save them for something like that?
Right, and that's the tricky part, is knowing when to pull the trigger, because you've got to have some star power in NXT. And is that fair to the talent? Because you could say it's not as big of a stage, and it might be a difference, it probably would be a difference when it comes to paycheck. So there's a lot of different factors that go into that. I think Neville is going to win that tournament. I think he's going to be in the Battle Royal. And I think we're going to see him have a one-on-one match on Raw the following night. I wonder who else they might be bringing up. And because, like you said, they want to make this a touring brand, I don't know if they would bring up anybody else right now, because typically, you know, last year we saw a couple people make their debuts immediately following WrestleMania, and I don't know how many people could. I mean, I think Neville, either Sasha Banks and or Charlotte. outside of that, I mean, we can sit there and say we know these guys are ready, but I don't know if they want to bring them up because they need to keep, you know, some stars in NXT.
If this were the territory days, Charlotte looks like she's given her notice. You know, she dropped the title. She lost again to Sasha Banks. It just looks like she's finishing her run and is ready to move on to the next territory.
Yep.
And so it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're on the verge of calling her up. Sasha, I think, is ready, but they just put the women's title belt on her. It hasn't always stopped them from calling up the NXT champion. I mean, they've done that a couple of times where you think, oh, he's going to be there a while, and no. But I'm guessing that we see Charlotte. If I had to pick two people that are going to be called up, it would be Adrian Neville, as you said, and Charlotte are my two candidates for call-up shortly after Mania. And then I'm trying to think if there's really – I mean, it's tough because there's so many people that are ready. And it's maybe Sammy, but I don't know that they're done telling Sammy's story at the NXT level with Kevin Owens down there. I could see him sticking around a little while.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to keep him there. You know, I don't know if people are going to get all bent out of shape out of that or not, but hey, Neville's been there for a while as well, so he deserves his call up. And yeah, I think those seem like the two people that make the most amount of sense. Now, looking into the crystal ball a little bit, what do you think we could get on Raw the day after WrestleMania?
Oh boy. You know, I think the NXT talent should be there. That is the ideal crowd to debut them. I mean, you bring in Adrian Neville in front of that crowd, and they're going to go gaga. Same with Charlotte. I mean, it's just that night after WrestleMania crowd, as you know, is just filled with the diehard fans from all over the world. And so they're going to go crazy for people like that. I'd have Samoa Joe win the Battle Royal, but that's probably not going to happen. So I don't think we get Joe the night after Mania either. But, so much of it depends on what happens at Mania. Is it Brock's last hurrah? Is it, no, we're going to get the, you know, 10-minute gloating Paul Heyman victory speech over Brock Lesnar retaining the championship?
Brock's scheduled for Raw, though, right?
I believe, yeah, I think he is. I'm 99% sure I thought he was.
Yeah.
I'll double-check on that, but I'm almost positive that he is. Is it possible we get a Seth Rollins cash in that night?
I would at least tease it heavily.
I mean, I haven't even ruled out that we get one at Mania.
I know it goes against
the corporate thing, but the feel good nature of the show. But I if I'm them, man, I would feel safer with certainly Brock as ongoing heel champion and Seth Rollins as heel champion more so than I would babyface Roman Reigns right now.
Well, the other thing is, too, and this goes into the whole Daniel Bryan thing a little bit, is it all about the quest for the title or what happens when you actually get the title? And do they want to continue with the quest?
Yeah, true. I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, do you think we'll get Sheamus and Randy Orton again?
Yeah, me neither.
If they do...
We're going to get Sheamus Daniel Bryan before then.
Yeah, and if they do, I think you need to stand up and lead the crowd in Fandangoing again, because that was the match that got that craze going.
Yeah, it did. Mm. Well, okay, guessing right now, give me your long projected way out main event for WrestleMania 32.
Undertaker's last ride. Maybe it is against Sting. I'm trying to think of who else. Does he avenge the loss to Brock Lesnar if Brock's under contract and isn't the champion?
Who would be in the championship match?
Oh, boy. How about all three Shield guys in a triple threat? As much as I just don't like triple threats, and that doesn't grab me either. I mean, if Brock's there, so much changes. I think it could be Rock and Brock. It could be Brock and Roman Reigns. I don't think Cena gets back to the Mania main event next year. The only way is if Reigns is heel and they want to go with that match, and boy, that's risky. But who knows? By then, if Reigns is heel, Brian, the same people who hate him so much right now might think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Maybe. There's an internal struggle between the two of us simply because of where we live. You being in Minneapolis area, me being in Orlando, we're going to have to duke it out because our two cities are competing for WrestleMania 33.
They are, yeah.
So what?
You had yours.
So?
So you can wait.
We want more.
You've got that decrepit old stadium.
No, they redid the stadium. It's been rebuilt. It was done in time for the bowl games that we have here, and it's good to go going forward.
You have a decrepit rebuilt stadium.
No, it's not
and
decrepit anymore.
We have a state-of-the-art, super deluxe, world-class Minnesota Vikings football stadium that is currently under construction.
In cold weather, and down here it's nice and sunny, and when you don't go to WrestleMania, you can not only enjoy the weather, but you can enjoy Disney World and Universal Studios and SeaWorld and the beaches, and there's tons of other things for people to do that travel all across the globe to come to Central Florida and come for WrestleMania.
Yeah, but if I'm WWE, I see that as a negative. I want them at all of my functions, not out giving, you know, Mickey Mouse money.
But you know what? We're the home of NXT. You can go over to Full Sail. You can see the show there. We could do another show someplace else. You know, and by then, maybe we'll have the physical Hall of Fame built here in Orlando as well.
Good luck with that. We keep hearing about it. I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
They love
hey,
it.
Look, I don't care if it's 33, 34, whatever, because here's what's probably going to happen. You and I are going to have this bitter blood feud, and they'll give it to Philadelphia.
Oh, God, don't even say that. I don't want that place to get it.
I know it's for people who don't, you know, they think of Minnesota, they just think ridiculously cold. And you've been up here for the worst of it when you came up for Elimination Chamber.
I did a year ago February, where it was one of the worst storms you guys have had that year.
It was brutal. That's about as bad as it gets up here. But I tell you, you know, you never know what you're going to get early April. I wouldn't hold the show like they are this year, last weekend of March, but I would do it that usual early April slot. There's times when you get snow. There's times where it's, you know, 75, 80 degrees and warm out. It's an indoor stadium. It's a newer stadium, so there's going to be all sorts of things right there.
Right.
Target Center's within walking distance. We've got light rail. So, I mean, and Skyway Systems. Technically, you could, even if it were just as bad as it was when you were up here, which it wouldn't be, but you could technically never go outside if you didn't want to because everything is connected. I assume the new stadium is going to be connected via Skyway as well. But worst case scenario, you wait and take the light rail. I mean, it was 60 degrees here like a week ago.
See, that's nice.
Actually, 70. I'm sorry. It was in the 70s a week ago. So, I mean, it just, you never know. I mean, they play outdoor baseball games here.
Yeah, it's in the 80s down here already.
See, that's just too hot. Nobody wants that.
Well, they've already had one WrestleMania in this weather.
All right, I want that. I'll take it. No, seriously, whether it's 33, 34, I think Minneapolis is a good spot. And I know it's just everyone, it's not a Chicago, New York style market. It's cold. Toronto's probably just as cold, if not colder. They've done Detroit, for God's sake.
That city. I don't care what the rumors say, unless Detroit is, like, handing over just amazing amount of money, they ain't going back to Detroit for WrestleMania.
And Detroit has nothing but money to burn, right?
Well, Detroit, I mean, it's a city that was bankrupt, but for anybody that doesn't know, the downtown Detroit has been totally rebuilt. So, I mean, there's a lot going on there, and business is starting to boom, but the thing is, when we talk about other things to do outside the area, WWE hated going there because from the standpoint of not only the weather was bad, but there was nothing else to do in the city. Now, maybe there is some more now because they've rebuilt so much of the infrastructure there, but I don't see an audience coming from around the world to go to WrestleMania being interested in going check out the nice art houses in downtown Detroit.
No, I don't think that'll happen. Indy was just as bad, wasn't it? Weren't they really down on... Yeah. It was like just not a whole lot going on in Indianapolis. And many, I mean, for instance, Dana White came up here for a show and just was gushing about it was, I think, the one that Brock headlined with Heath Herring.
Yep.
And was just, you know, by the time all was said and done, he was just gushing about how much he loved it up here. And, I mean, the weather cooperating would be great, obviously, but Target Center, like I say, is walking distance for the Hall of Fame. And then they have the convention center if they wanted to have an NXT show. I mean, there's so many various locations and everything is fairly close together. I think Minneapolis would do really well. I mean, we're getting the Super Bowl, we're getting the Final Four, we're getting all these things. I think we can handle a WrestleMania.
I think that definitely helps when you can say we've had all these other major events, so that's a huge feather in the cap. And I think we're going to get to a point where there's only going to be 8 to 10 locations where we really look at where WrestleMania is going to be, kind of like what the NFL does with the Super Bowl, and that, you know, it could be in Santa Clara. It could be in... could really be in San Francisco if they wanted to, too, or they could be in Los Angeles. It could be in Orlando. It can be in Miami. It could be in Minneapolis. It could definitely be in New York again. I would like to see Chicago added to that.
Me too.
But outside of that, you know, Atlanta is someplace too, and then Houston and Dallas. But that's about it. I mean, I know other people can complain
Mexico
or whatever.
City,
that, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Not in the foreseeable future.
Right.
I don't either.
And same with England or, you know, any part of the UK or anything. I don't think WrestleMania, SummerSlam possibly, but I don't see a WrestleMania that far in that kind of a time zone.
I think they would have to be paid a ton of money to do Mania there, but I would do a SummerSlam there. I really would too. Because you have the network now. You know, and let's get a couple years down the road. Who knows if they have any pay-per-view remaining? And if they don't, who cares? You can air the thing on WWE Network at, you know, when it airs live, and then just air the replay in the usual slot, and I think they'd be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that they can do now. So one last thing. I know the day after Mania, they are going to announce a subscriber account for the network. Where do you think that number is going to be?
1.15 to 1.2 tops.
Really? Because I know I overestimated. I know a couple weeks ago I had said like 1.3 to 1.5. I still get a feeling it's going to be like 1.2, 1.3.
It's, you know, the reason I'm kind of down on... I'm not going that far. I think they can be there by next WrestleMania, that 1.5 mark. That's an attainable goal if they can get their creative together and do a better job of marketing the network and all
sure,
that.
Sure, good luck.
Yeah, it's just so many of the count they had last time was the free UK people that were given a couple of free months because of the delay and all of that. And, I mean, I think WrestleMania itself is going to make up for that. I'd be shocked if they weren't over a million, but I just don't know if they get to that mark yet. But you know, I think 1.3 is a fair estimate. I'm probably coming in a little bit low, but,
yeah.
I mean, anything under a million I think is a disaster because it's, you know, this is going to be their peak for the year. I can't even imagine what would get them above that, you know, whatever this mark is going to be until this time next year.
They just have this kind of strange setup from the standpoint that they can sit there and justify their creative because they can say, hey, man, we had X amount of people come out for WrestleMania. Look at all the money that we drew. Look at what we did for the city. Look at the numbers that the network is doing. Look at what we did on it. We're making more money on our TV deal, even though when you really look back, it's a lot less than they expected. But they can sit there and go, our business is booming. So you can't complain about creative because people are loving what we're doing from a standpoint. We're making money. I mean, we're doing well business-wise. It's kind of this anomaly when you sit there and say, okay, there's some people that are criticizing what they're seeing on TV. Maybe the ratings could be a little bit higher, but they're still in a solid range. And business-wise, they're doing very well, even though there are definitely some problems with creative.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, people will say Vince has got to go, and I don't think Vince is doing his finest work. I think the last two builds. Last year he was saved by Daniel Bryan. He could have been again this year and chose not to. I mean, the last two WrestleMania main events that he's come up with have been flawed, very flawed. And I think they've left a lot of that of the proverbial money on the table. But good luck. You know, it would take an act of God to get Vince McMahon out of power as it is. But if somebody were to go and say, this guy has to go, you know, Triple H, if the big power play, the fantasy booking power play that people come up with, where Triple H is going to talk to the board and take control, which is not going to happen, folks, unless Vince just completely loses his mind. Because all they would have to do is go, wait, the ratings are this, the network count is this, all those things you just said, and he's fine. I mean, I think creative could be so much better than it is, and it's a shame that it's not. But it's not going anywhere, and unfortunately, I think Vince is going to see all these numbers and feel like what he's doing is great. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. You know,
yeah.
I mean, look at our numbers.
Well, everybody can go online. You can go to prowrestling.net, see all of Jason's great work, keep up on all the latest when it comes to WWE and all of wrestling, and you can sign up and become a member of the site as well. Get elite content, including more podcasts with Jason. Give me all the information about that.
Oh, absolutely. Visit the main page, prowrestling.net. You can't miss the sign-up area. For as little as $5.50 a month, You can have access to the site if you take the annual option. You want to try us out for 1 month, and a great time to do it, obviously. $7.50. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you can enjoy all the perks of membership right there on your phone once you sign up through the website. So if you enjoy audio content, as you obviously do, know that we have a ton of it, and this week will be no exception. And I'll also be doing some live shows this week that will be all access to everybody coming up Thursday and Friday, and again on Sunday, Thursday and Friday at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDOTNET. I'll be going live at 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern time for an hour, taking your phone calls on all things WrestleMania. And then on Sunday, I'm pushing it back a little bit earlier just because of the early start time for the show. I'll be going on 1 o'clock at 1 Central, 2 Eastern, another one-hour show. Your call's welcome. If you missed any of that, just visit the main page at ProWrestling.net, and I will have it all there for you.
So you're telling me I can have Chipotle for lunch one day, or I can have a month membership to your site?
You got it, yeah. And in fact, if you keep your eyes open here, it's not finalized yet, but you might even find yourself a hell of a deal coming up even later today where you can save even more money on that.
What?
So, check the main page of ProWrestling.net. I think you'll enjoy the savings that you're about to see.
I smell WrestleMania sale.
Ooh, you said it, not me. Kayfabe, exactly. Brother.
Jason, man, I always appreciate the conversation, and glad we get to do this every year, and we'll probably talk again, weeks to come, and all the things that came out of WrestleMania and the year to come in WWE.
Sounds great. Hey, you guys need a running back? Because we've got one.
No, I don't think the Bears are going to take Adrian Peterson.
Damn it. Someone needs
to. We've got
Matt
Forte.
Get out of town, Adrian.
We've got Matt Forte, okay?
I know. Someone needs to take him, or he needs to grow up in a hurry, one or the other.
Well, have fun cutting him.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. That would be foolish if they did that, but they better get to I don't expect to get a high pick, but they better get something for this guy. He'll do well for somebody for the next couple of years, but what a headache, my God.
Well, who else is going to want to pay and have a salary cap hit of $13 million for a running back in today's NFL?
Yeah, and who else would be dumb enough to go, wait, I can play for that money and make $20 million next year potentially, or I can be mad at the team because I abused my son. It's their fault. I'm the victim. I need out of town, and I'll play for less. What an idiot.
Well, you know what the one thing that Adrian Peterson has not done yet? He hasn't apologized.
No. He doesn't think he did anything wrong. That's
right.
The thing.
I'm like, just suck it up and apologize, dude.
He thinks he's the victim. It should be, I'm embarrassed, and you know, I've learned from this, and there's none of that.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird situation. The showdown that's going on between management and Peterson up there with the Vikings, it's not going to get pretty. It's really going to get ugly.
My last question for you, is he a Cowboy or a Cardinal, or is there another mystery team that sneaks in?
I don't think he's going to be a Cowboy. I think somebody else is kind of... I think Jerry Jones has been, stored away and with an ether rag in somebody's trunk.
Good.
So I could see the Cardinals. Come on, he's perfect for the Raiders, isn't he?
He kind of would fit in out there, but I've got a reader who says the Buccaneers, and I know they've shown interest, but if I'm the Bucs...
I don't know if Lovie Smith wants that.
Well, and not only but think about it from their perspective. It's like their team rebuilding. They have the number one pick for a reason. Peterson's 30 years old now. He might get you to the playoffs, but I'd rather have like that Gordon kid in the draft if I could than go out and spend money on a 30-year-old running back when you're probably several years away from being, at least a couple years away from being real contenders. Why do that?
It just depends. Well, the Bucs have been down for a few years now. It just depends on. Can we get a quick turnaround, and can he put butts in seats? And if you feel like you can get both of those, especially the butts in seats, you'll do it.
Come see the guy who whipped his child and won't apologize.
But he's going to tear it up on the field for almost 2,000 yards this season.
He might.
He might.
Nothing would surprise. He's a hell of a talent.
I mean, he's going to be running with a chip on his shoulder the entire year.
Absolutely. No, he's a hell of a talent. I never thought it would come to this. And I even when everything happened, I figured it's Adrian. He's always been... seemingly a pretty good guy, and he'll see the error in his ways and apologize, and nope, he can't do it.
Well, we'll see what happens. Always appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, anytime.
You got it.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.